question, do our schedules crowd out our valuable time with the Lord? And we all have different schedules, and you can think about that in your mind. And I guess the question could be, do we allow our schedules to crowd out our time with the Lord? And in defense, some may be quick to say, well, idleness is the devil's workshop, taken from a verse in Proverbs 16, and that is the truth. But another thought that we need to consider is, and the question could be, is the devil using our busy schedules as an avenue to keep us away from the Word of God? So another question, how do we look, or what is our perspective of church services or our daily time with the Lord? What do we consider important? Do we look at our time this morning and our daily devotional time? Is that an option if time or if energy allows? Or I trust it's a top priority for us personally as well as our families. Is it time that we make some adjustments to our focus so we are also using our time wisely? And also, busy schedules and lack of quality time with the Lord will slowly erode our trust and our confidence in the Lord as we fill our life with other things. By default, I think we fill our lives with other things and crowd out that time. But we need to be dedicated and committed to keeping Christ in our lives and making that a top priority so that our confidence in Him does not tend to erode. We're going to look at the children of Israel this morning and look a little bit at their focus, their confidence, and then also some words from the Lord. So turn to Exodus, go to chapter 14. We are going to look at a few previous chapters for some background, but Exodus 14 will be our text for this morning. Back in Exodus 5, the children of Israel, they're in slavery in Egypt. And they are working hard and making bricks for Pharaoh. And it was around that time where Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and they said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that we may hold a feast in the wilderness." So Aaron and Moses went into Pharaoh with the request, "Hey, can we go for a few days so we can worship?" And Exodus 5, chapter verse 2, Pharaoh says some familiar words we are familiar with. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." The request to go worship kind of backfired on Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel. And what happened was Pharaoh and his men quit giving the children of Israel the straw which they needed to make the brick, but still demanded the same amount of brick be made each day. Moving on to verse 14, "And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task by making a brick both yesterday and today?" So we see what the situation was there, and we know the story of the plagues. So if we move ahead, we're going to jump a few chapters to chapter 12. Now here we see the end of the 10th plague. And the children of Israel were actually commanded by Pharaoh to get out. We know after the death of the firstborn, that's when Pharaoh had enough, and he said, "Get out." Exodus 12:40, we find that the children of Israel had been working hard and had been in slavery for 430 years. So, slaves in bondage, some of their people were beaten, and they're working hard for 400 plus years. Now, what I want you to do here is just keep this picture in your mind for a little bit. We're going to come back to this before long. So Pharaoh sends the people away, and we're going to begin reading. You're there in 14, but just look back to chapter 13, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Go to verse 21. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So here we have, finally out of bondage and on the way to the promised land. We can look at them as being having a mountaintop experience as they're finally moving forward. And there is a beautiful picture for us to see in chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord was with them. This was before the coming of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord went before them. Yes, they were journeying in the wilderness, but the Lord was their guide. Folks, anywhere with Jesus, we can safely go. And some of their direction they were receiving, like, why are we going this way? But the Lord was directing them, and they were following their master. And the same way with us, can we feel that peace when we are following the master? The Lord led them with the pillar on the cloud by day. They could, and all they had to do was follow. And it's the same way for us today. The Lord is there. When we are following him, he will lead the way. All we need to do is follow. And when we do that, folks, peace will flood our souls because we are called to follow. And stress will come when we get ahead of our leader and try to blaze our own path. So the Israelites could see the cloud during the daytime. And then during the night, the Lord led them with a pillar of fire. Literally lit the path, and they could clearly see the way they were supposed to go. And so what we have here is clear direction. Clear direction. And today, many years later, he leads us the same way. Is it with a still small voice? Is it with the guiding of the Holy Spirit? Or the direction we get from his word? And also with the aid of our conscience. You know, today, I'm convinced that we are able to discern right from wrong, and also which direction that we are to take. And as he was with the children of Israel many years ago, so he is with us today. In verse 22, he was with them all the time, always there for his people. Imagine the heart of love the Lord had for his people, tenderly leading them in the path that he had chosen. So we get to the end of chapter 13, and we see a picture of love and compassion. Let's go into chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, and mingled, and over against the sea, and over at the sea, against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Okay, to go directly, if you check out the map, to go directly from Egypt to the promised land, you had to go through the land of the Philistines. And the Lord said he's not going to lead them that way unless they see some war come up and turn around and go back. But had they gone directly from Egypt to the promised land, according to some research, it was approximately 11-day journey, around 380 miles. But the Lord does not always take us on the easiest path from one point to another. And the Lord had plans for this trip. And it turns out, if we would go on, some of the response that the children of Israel gave or had, it turned out to be a 40-year plan. But God told Moses to camp by the Red Sea. And here again, I guess I should have had a map out. But if you were to look on the map, they were told to go there by Etham. And that's right at the top corner of the Red Sea. So they went and came down on my left side and then crossed over. It would have been very easy for them just to go a little bit further and go down the east side of the sea and continue on their journey. And according to the map, it would have been not much more time involved to avoid this Red Sea experience completely. But again, let's remember, we have confidence in Christ, and Christ is leading the way, and they are called to follow. What happens was here, verse 3, we move on. Pharaoh knew where the children of Israel had encamped. And it wasn't hard for him to figure out, okay, they went down by the wilderness, they're by the Red Sea, they're trapped. And what did he do? He decided he is going to follow them. Verse 4, and this is God still speaking. Let's read verse 3 as well, 3 and 4. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled or trapped there in the land. The wilderness has shut them in up against the Red Sea. God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Period. And they did so. There's three points here in verse 4 we want to see. First one is that God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Earlier, Pharaoh had hardened his own heart. Back in Exodus 8:32, he had resisted the grace of God. And now here, God justly gave him up to his own heart's lust to pursue after the children here, to strong delusions. Pharaoh here, what we see here in verse 4 is Pharaoh is permitting Satan to blind and harden him. And that's a dangerous place for man to be when man does that. He allowed Satan to harden his heart there. The second thing is that God said, you know, I'm going to receive the honor and the glory here. The Egyptians are going to know, and as he states, that I am the Lord. Remember I was telling you it would be so much easier to go on the other side of the Red Sea and continue on? But what we need to look at here this morning is a clear sign that God is in control. And the direction that he was taking them on is not a mistake. The direction that he takes us on is not a mistake. God had a plan here, and God has a plan for us. And at times we may feel like we're out wandering around in a desert of life. But that's a time that we need to look to God and allow him to direct our next step. You know, so often we go back to the verse, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And there is truth right there. But sometimes, even though we know that, we still try to paddle our own way through the desert. But God said, no, just look to me. He has a plan. As long as we're following him, we're not lost. We're not out on our own. But we're living in his plan for us. And we get to the end of verse 4 for the point number 3. It simply says, and they did so. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. At this point of the journey, everything was going well, and the people were carefully following the direction that God was giving. And what I see here is a good sign. God gave the instructions, and it was followed to the T. And what did we sing in one of the first songs this morning? Oh God, you are my God. Step by step, you lead me. You know, we were singing that. Is that our heart? That we would just follow him wherever he takes us. Are we easier to lead and quicker to follow instructions when things are going well? As we see here, they were so far. Let's move on. Verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt, the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people and said, why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? Pharaoh and his men regretted the fact that they left children of Israel go. So what did they do? He made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. Pharaoh gathered all his army together and headed out to catch up and find the children of Israel. And there he found them by the Red Sea, just where exactly the place where God had told them to go. And we get to the end of verse 9, and everything is going exactly how God had planned it. Look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Let's stop there for a little bit. Could it be that the children of Israel had not even looked back ever since they left Egypt? They were going, and they were on their, like I said, their mountaintop experience. But when they looked back, they knew who was coming after them. Did they remember at this point how they had been cruelly treated as slaves? They were sore afraid. They were afraid about what was going to happen. So picture their situation. The Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh and his men on the other side, and they had nowhere to go. Basically, we could say their backs were up against the wall. So now we find them there by the Red Sea and Pharaoh coming. And their response to their situation was twofold. There was some good and some bad. Look at the good part. They cried out unto the Lord. They were in trouble. And this is not suggesting that we wait until our back is against the wall to cry out, but they were making a good move. The Lord tells us to go to Him when we are burdened down. And it does us good to acknowledge that we of ourselves are not capable of handling the situation that on our own strength. Crying out to the Lord builds relationship. Crying out to the Lord builds trust. When we cry out to the Lord, it allows the Lord to show us His power. Plus, and a point that I want to make sure you remember, it pleases the Lord when we let Him be our master and our provider. It pleases Him when we go to Him. Sometimes when we cry out and something's wrong, you know, it's not always, if we're complaining, it's not good. But the Lord is different. He wants us to go to Him. And do not use the Lord as your last resort, as was mentioned in the Sunday school devotional. However, when our back is up against the wall, He wants us to go to Him. You know, sometimes He allows us to get to this point in our lives where we are, could we use the word forced to turn to Him? And maybe that's a fault of our own because we are so distracted. But maybe sometimes the Lord allows us, I repeat, to get to that point so we turn to Him. And hopefully we can learn from that experience so that the next time we are quicker to go and turn to Him. And I'm not sure how it has happened, but currently we are living in an independent, self-sufficient society. I can take care of myself is a broader mindset where no one has a right to tell me what to do. And as was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson over here this morning, we don't need anyone else is what sometimes the thought comes up. And what happens, that mindset tends to keep us or keep people from asking for help since they fear the answer they receive is not something they want to hear. But that's not the way it should be in our relationship with the Lord. His motto is, come unto me. Here again, we see the desire that we go to Him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's an invitation there, and He desires for you and I, as His children, to go to Him. Now we get to the bad part of their response, and that comes in verse 11. Somewhere between verse 10 and verse 11, the children of Israel developed a bad attitude. And what I see here in verse 11 is none other than they really unloaded on Moses and began to blame him for their troubles. So verse 10, the end of verse 10 says, they cried out unto the Lord, the good part. The verse 11 says, and they said unto Moses. So maybe they were speaking out both sides of the mouth. Or they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth to Egypt? Is not this the word we did speak unto thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Remember that picture I told you to keep in your mind? The children of Israel being slaves for 430 years in slavery, beaten, bondage, working hard. Did they forget so quickly? How much time passed from verse 1 to verse 11? Not sure. But all of a sudden, after one little, well, we'll call it a big situation, they're faced with a big situation, they're wishing for the opportunity to be back in Egypt. They were desiring that bondage so they could die there. And I was studying for this, and I looked at that for a while. And finally, I concluded, and maybe we could look at different points of this here verse, but I concluded, did you ever say something you regret? You're looking at someone who did, who does. Many times I say things, I go back, well, I wish I could just take that back. Remember the children's illustration, that toothpaste squeezed out of the tube? You wish you could put it back in again, and you can't. And I'm going to give the children of Israel the benefit of the doubt this morning. And hopefully they look back on their response here and back to Moses. Hey, Moses, you know, I'm sorry for what I did, for what I said there. That we don't know. But that's We're going to let that there. Hopefully they apologized. Another question came up. What did Moses say between verse 12 and verse 13? And I understand that I have the King James Version just like you do, and there's a period after some of these verses, and then it starts off with a capital letter in the next one, and looks like nothing happened in between. But I had to wonder, if somebody would come to you about a situation they're facing and insert your name in verse 11 and 12, what would you say before verse 13? So I went to Numbers 12:3 for a verse, and it goes like this. It says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And yes, this morning our focus is confidence in Christ, but may I just drop that in there with Moses there. We know how kind of leader he was. And after they, as I said earlier, they unloaded on him, after they did that in them two verses, he comes back in verse 13. And there's 3 points we want to look at here in verse 13. The response of Moses is amazing. And Moses said unto the people, after all that they dumped on him, he said, fear ye not. Moses remembered what the Lord had told him back in verse 4. The Lord said, I will be honored upon these Egyptians here. They are going to know who the Lord is. He remembered what the Lord had told him. But folks, this took confidence for Moses to speak this phrase to this group of unhappy people. But if we can make some practical applications, when we are fully connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are fully connected to him, we too will be able to speak the truth with confidence and with boldness. Even at stressful times like that. Yes, the entire group of the children of Israel were in a stressful situation. And I think they had doubled up with Moses. But he comes back and he says, fear not. Jesus Christ is the only avenue that we can take to quench fear. And you see where their focus was here? You see who had confidence in Christ and who was struggling with that confidence right here? Many times we can read in the New Testament where Jesus said, fear not. And there is no other one who can completely remove fear than the Master himself. Regardless what we are facing, fear will flee when we turn to Jesus Christ. Fear happens when we take our eyes off of Christ, like Peter on the water. When he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink and cried out. But when he had his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he could walk on water. When the lights are on, there is an absence of darkness. And when Jesus is near, there's an absence of fear. I'm not saying you should never be afraid, but here we see that it's to turn to the Lord and have confidence in him. Moses stood in direct connection to the Lord, and he confidently told the people, fear not, with confidence. Point number two here, Moses said, stand still. You know, it sounds more like a command, but imagine the people pacing around trying to figure out what to do next. And Moses said, stand still. Just an effort to calm the crowd. Maybe his point was so that they needed to remain still so they could hear what he had to say next. And here, it gets really exciting. He said, fear not, stand still. And the third point, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall not see them again, no more forever. This is the last time you're going to see the Egyptians. And I had mentioned before that Moses was speaking with confidence. And here we find him telling the children of Israel what the outcome of the battle will be before the battle even started. How could he do that? Was Moses God? No, absolutely not. Moses was God's servant, and today we are as well. Question, do we have this level of confidence in Christ? How could he tell the people what was going to happen before it actually happened? And another thing to look at, today we are serving the same Lord that Moses was talking to many years ago. The power of our Lord has not diminished over the years. He is alive. He is all-powerful, and oh, that we will place our utmost confidence in him. Remember David in the battle with Goliath. He is another one who went up to Goliath, and he told him the outcome of that fight before that fight even began. You talk about a 15-year-old 15 to 16 year old man, 5 foot six tall, average, going up to a 9 foot giant and say, by the way, young man, you're going to die. I'm going to take your sword. I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to do thus and thus and thus and thus. And it happened. What was the key in both those battles? In that battle and the one we're looking at here this morning. 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you're coming to me with a sword and that spear and a shield. That's how you're coming, Goliath. But I'm not coming that way, David's saying. David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And verse 46 of that chapter says, this day will the Lord deliver me, thee, into thine hand. Both Moses and David recognized the battle was not in their hands. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give the victory. What are we, you, up against today? The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord wants to be in control of what you are facing in life. We all will face challenges in life. We cannot avoid them all. But place your confidence in the Lord and press on to victory. Look at verse 14. The Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Notice what's going to happen. The Lord's going to do the fight. Notice the responsibility of the children of Israel. Hold their peace. And what we're about to see here is the Lord completely destroying the entire Egyptian army. And the children of Israel were not going to lift a finger. The battle was the Lord's, and he was going to cover all the details. It gets interesting in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, okay, Moses was done talking to the children there, to the people there in verses 14 and 15, 13 and 14. And now in verse 15, the Lord starts speaking again. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses, why are you standing there crying? Moses, what is happening? What's going on? Speak to the people and notice the command. Move forward. Did we not mention, read a little bit earlier? The Pharaoh and his army was behind him. The Red Sea was on the other side. You know, you come to some intersections when you're driving along, and there's a sign there that says, look left, then right, then left again before pulling out. Well, the children of Israel had come to an intersection in the wilderness. They had stopped for a while and looked around. Now the Lord is telling them to move forward. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. But again, here we see the Lord is in complete control. Moses, the Lord's still talking, verse 6 in verse 15. Lift up thy rod, stretch thine hand out over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground. Now let's go back to Noah for a while. For just for a minute, God said, Noah, built that ark. It's going to rain. It had never rained before. Now go fast forward to here. God said, Moses, put your rod out over this sea, and there's going to be a dry road. You know, what we're looking at here is, in our minds, impossibilities. But again, the Lord is in control here. And the Lord is telling Moses exactly what to do. Did Moses divide the Red Sea? No. Moses stood on the shore and just held a stick out over the sea, and the water divided. Look at verse 17. And behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they're going to pursue after. Did Moses persuade the Egyptian to follow the children of Israel into the Red Sea? No, the Lord was taking care of this. Look at verse 18. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Verse 18, the Lord is going to prove his point to the Egyptians one last time. Read on, verses 19 and 20, we have more divine protection. Again, the angel of the Lord came, and that cloud went behind them and separated the children of Israel and the Egyptian army throughout the night. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord, here we see again the power and the strength of our God, caused the sea to go back with a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Here we see the dividing took place as Moses stood still and the Lord took care of that. The Lord performed a wonderful miracle when he divided the Red Sea, but along with that, another miracle was making the bottom of the sea dry ground. I think you all know if you drain a pond, what you have, just a gooey mixture of mud that just moves under your feet. But here the Bible says it was dry ground. You know, as we ponder the strength of our Lord with the ability to part a sea and to make the bottom of the sea to dry up the mud, we're left with the question, is there anything too big for our God to handle? Is there anything that we face that he cannot handle? Is there anything outside his control? And we know there is not. And I repeat, it's his desire that we go to him and say, Lord, I'm faced with this, I'm faced with that. Help me through this and help me through that. And there are sometimes we can't even quite understand how to make it through. I mentioned Wednesday night about that family that buried their child after a skid loader accident on a farm. You know, their 3-year-old child. How? But the Lord gives us grace for the times that we are in. We just need to go to him and put our complete trust and our complete confidence in him. There is nothing that's too big for him to handle. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto their right hand and unto their left. Brothers and sisters, the Lord made a way, and the people moved forward. Earlier, we looked at the confidence of Moses, and here I believe we need to give credit where credit is due. The children of Israel moved forward. By moving forward, they were displaying their obedience, they were displaying their courage and their faith and their trust in the Lord. This sea was one big body of water the evening prior, and now the following morning there was a dry road leading to the side. It took courage to lead their families down to the ocean floor, but they went. Imagine walking with them with water on the left and water on the right. They were witnessing a miracle. A miracle was happening right before their eyes as they walked through. They placed their trust in the Lord and walked through to the other side. But had they stood there and not walked through, the Lord could not have saved them. Luke 17 would have the story of the 10 lepers, and it says, and when he saw, Jesus here speaking, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, and here's the point I'd like to get, as they went, they were cleansed. Basically saying, going, they were healed. They needed to believe. They needed to put their trust and their confidence in Christ, and then they needed to go. Actually take the step of faith and go, and it was then that they were actually healed. You know, sometimes the Lord makes a way, and then it's up to us to take the step. The Lord will provide the path. We need to have the courage to step forward. The Lord will make sure the waters of life do not overwhelm us. We need to continue walking by faith. The Lord will be with us till we reach the other shore. We need to place our confidence and our trust in him each and every day. Question, are we moving forward with Christ by our side? Are we moving forward each and every day? Moving on, the Lord was not done performing his miracles. Verses 23, 24, and 25. As the Egyptians came in behind him, one morning the Lord looked back and it says, he troubled the Egyptian army. Pharaoh and his men took full advantage of the road through the sea, and the Lord saw what was happening. Verse 24, the Lord looked up unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and the cloud, and the word that the King James uses, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. What does it mean by he troubled them? Living Bible said harassed. I didn't quite like that word. But the children of the Egyptians were pursuing God's people until the Lord allowed some troubling events to take place that slowed down their progress. Yes, he parted the Red Sea. Yes, he provided a dry road through the sea. But he took off the wheels of their chariots. According to verse 7, there were at least 600 chariots. So the Lord might have been busy for a while, taking off wheels. I don't think so. If the Lord could speak the world into existence, I'm confident that removing a few chariot wheels was a minor task. But what does that show us? It shows us that we serve a God who knows no limits. We serve a God who is willing and able to handle even what we would consider the smaller matters in life. We serve a God who is on our side. We serve an all-powerful, all-knowing Master, one who is there and ready to help us through whatever we may be facing. And if that's not enough, we serve a God who has a desire that we go to him for assistance. There it comes out again. He is there just waiting for us, not saying we're not going, but he's there always ready when we go. We are truly a blessed people. Somewhere around middle verse 25, the Egyptians finally got the picture. They finally realized they were no match for the Lord. So they decided to flee. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth against them. And to flee, their decision to flee was a good decision, but it was simply too late. Because if standing on the other shore, there we have Moses again, and the Lord commanded him to lift up that rod, and the road disappeared. End of verse 28, we see no survivors. Verse 31, the people feared the Lord, a different fear from what we saw in verse 10. Basically here we could say they stood in awe of the Lord. It says, verse 30 and 31, thus the Lord saved Israel out of that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the work of which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Try to picture yourself there on that side of the Red Sea after what had happened. And I think we all respond in the same way. Chapter 15 is a song unto the Lord for what he has done for them. But they stood in awe of him, recognizing they are serving a great God. In conclusion, are we experiencing a Red Sea experience with our back up against the wall? And the question is, how are we going to respond? Are we going to be afraid and complain, as we saw back there in verses 11 and 12? Or are we going to move forward? So the challenge is that as we looked at this chapter this morning, and we see the power that God has. This was not a power only that was available back in the Old Testament. We're serving the same God today. Are we going to place our confidence in Christ? Take that step of faith with courage and with boldness, and then trust in the Lord until we reach the other shore. And I trust that this morning's message will build your confidence. And whatever you're facing, and whatever you will face in the coming days, that we had just go to the Lord and know that there is nothing too big for him to handle. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you here today, this morning. Just thank you for the story of the children in the Red Sea. And thank you for the way your power was revealed to us this morning. We also saw your heart of love and compassion for the people, and that is with us here this morning. We also saw how you made the way for them, and you are paving the way for us today as well. Give us courage and boldness and trust and faith and confidence, God. Help us, Lord, to be careful with our schedules and take time with you, not to become distracted and allow other things to fill our time slot. But Lord, we are serving a great God, and we are truly, truly a blessed folk. And I pray, Lord, help us not to take our focus off of you, but just confidently serve you until we reach the other shore. Lord, if there are some here this morning who need to adjust their focus or their schedules, I pray you give them the strength to do that. Lord, if there are some here this morning who need to spend more time with you, I trust, Lord, you would give them that commitment that they would do that. If there are some here this morning that are struggling with some situation they're facing, I trust, Lord, that you would give them the confidence just to let the situation in your hands. And through it all, Lord, I trust this morning that we could have our confidence level built to the fact that we can just fear not, but just stand still and see you lead. May we also be humble servants of yours, and may we be meek as we go throughout our lives, as Moses was. And also may we follow you, not trying to blaze our own way or get ahead of you as our leader. Lord, grant us a servant's heart
Forgive us where we have failed and help us to press on with you, Lord, taking our lives one day at a time. Thank you, Lord, for leading us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Nate, we have a song, please.